It's easy to follow God when it's easy. But what about when it's not easy? Do we still follow God? It's easy to follow God when we know what we're doing. But how about when you have no idea what you're doing? How many had parents when they said, go do something, and you said, why? And they said, because I told you so. Well, he's not much different as a father than in that way sometimes. Sometimes he knows you, well, not sometimes, he always knows you better than you know yourself. Many times we don't understand the reasoning, say reasoning, the reasoning behind his direction. All you have to go on is trust in his word. And most of us, when things don't turn out the way we think they're supposed to turn out, we begin to question, if you're like me, you don't ever question God's wisdom. You question your ability to hear God back then. Like, well, maybe I missed God before. And the answer I have for that from my own life is you never, ever, 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 ever make a decision in the midst of the storm, in the midst of anxiety. You only make a decision based on peace, when you're in peace. Otherwise, you will rescue your own flesh from the torture God wants it to go through. God does not mind torturing your flesh. When your flesh is complaining, in fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul is talking to the church. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So let's look at this verse. Just stay with me today, if you don't mind. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. We see that word babe, child in Christ, in many places in the New Testament. In Hebrews, he calls them babes. They're still needing milk, and they should be eating meat at the time. Here he calls them babes, and he connects immaturity, baby, infancy, being an infant-like, with carnal, being carnal. So let's read this again, if you don't mind. Verse 1, chapter 3. But I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. So in other words, he has one language to spiritual people. But as to carnal, I have to speak to you as carnal people, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, verse 2, and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Now, there's a hint of a good pastor. A good pastor gives you what you can receive, because the goal of a good pastor, a good message, is to get you to move forward, to grow, to move forward, not to choke you. You know, I can take a child, a baby, and every one of you mamas would come and beat me up if I started cutting up a steak and try to stuff it down a baby's mouth. Say, you need some good protein. You know, we need to stuff some protein down you. And you can choke a baby. And so here he's telling them, this is an action of love, in a sense that I can't give you what I want to give you, because you're not mature enough to handle it. You haven't grown like you should have, so I have to talk to you as in carnal language. I have to give you information in carnal, where spiritually I want to give you information, but I can't, because you're still a babe. I want to give you solid food, but I have to give you milk. Now, he's talking to believers here. So you can understand that as a believer, he's saying these words, spiritual, carnal. Say that with me, spiritual, carnal. You experienced this. As I'm describing this, I want us to understand that as we get into some of these details today, where I feel like I'm going, but when you look at a car, you can see the wheel, and you can describe it as a wheel. Look at the wheel. There's a wheel. It's got a hubcap. It's got rubber. It's got bolts, three parts. That's a wheel. But if you ask a mechanic, he'll tell you that within that wheel are many parts. If you take the hubcap off and take the bolts off, you will find as you pull the wheel off, there's brakes, brake pads. And I remember going through schooling where they taught we had to take brake pads off. And there's springs in there. And there was 100 parts just to have brakes, which you never knew existed. All you could see is a wheel. But behind that wheel is 100 parts to make up that wheel. And so as we're describing this, it's okay to look at it and say, that's a wheel. But if you really want to get into detail, there's scripture to help you understand what makes up that wheel. And what I'm trying to say is, you are a... let me have my lovely assistant stand, Rachel. And let's give Rachel a big hand clap. Rachel, do a little spin. Let everyone see you. She's our model today, our famous model. We shipped her in from New York to shine for us today. But scripturally, we would say she is a body, soul, and spirit, right? That basically you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. That's our traditional teaching, and that is totally accurate. But that is like looking at a wheel and saying, that's a wheel. If you dissect it scripturally, you'll find out that it's much more complex than just a body, soul, and spirit. Because when we start talking a language like this that Paul is talking about, it gives you insight to some of the things that who you really are and who you're not. Thank you, Rachel. You may be seated. Yes, give her a big hand clap. Like, I knew I wasn't supposed to sit on the front row. I should have been on the third row. God put you there just for me. That's why. So when Paul begins to tell them, I need to speak to you as in carnal, not in spiritual. See, that has a complexity to the picture. What does he mean? Why can't I speak to you? Aren't you born again? Is he not talking to a born-again church here? But in their carnality, we learn that there's division, there's strife, we find unholiness activity in the church. We find lots of things going on within this church that Paul attributes to carnalness, carnality, which really is another word for meat. And, flesh. The word flesh, you have to be careful in Scripture because sometimes the word flesh means your old nature. Sometimes the word flesh means your body, your natural body. Sometimes the word flesh is interpreted as the nation you belong in, like Israelite or Jewish or Canadian. I'm Canadian of flesh and very proud of it. So... so here when he's talking about carnal, he attributes carnality that I have to speak to you in carnal language as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're not able. So I can't speak to you in spiritual terms because you're not able to understand it because you're still a babe in Christ. Let's read verse 3. For you are still carnal. Now they're born again, but they're still carnal. Now if you want to stay at the wheel is rubber and a bolt and a hubcap, you're totally scriptural. That's totally great. Body, soul, and spirit. But when we begin to struggle with things in our life, there's definitions in here behind the basic body, soul, and spirit to help you understand who you are. And if you get a glimpse of this, there's some hope for you in your struggles. Here's a group that are carnal. For you are still carnal. Verse 3. You are still carnal. Is he saying to them that you're not born again? Okay, so we're in agreement. He's talking to a Christian group that are thinking out of carnality. And you'll see me make fun sometimes when I have Rachel come up here and up close and model for me. Come here, Rachel. This is why she always looks so shiny and perfect for church, because she knows I'll be up there with the preacher. I'll be preaching this Sunday. She calls her mom and her family I'm preaching this Sunday. Alan's up. I know I'll be up preaching. See, when God speaks to you, and we confuse the new nature with our inward man, we can think that he speaks to us way down deep. I heard him speak to me where? Way down in my belly. Way down deep in my belly, I heard him say. And we're attributing that he speaks to our new nature. But a nature is just a nature. In our case, a born-again case, a really special nature. But when a puppy is born, it gains its nature from its parents. But the puppy's still there. It has a nature. Say this with me. I have a nature. But I have an inward man of spirit as well. See, when you begin to understand this, it helps you understand some of the battle that you might be going through right now. And being at peace with knowing that I'm going through this, I'm not going to stay here. And not self-condemning yourself. Gary, we so much appreciate you, Gary, just as a pastor and a man of the word. But this morning talked about the mercy of God and running to his mercy and receiving his mercy and not just receiving it yourself, but giving it out at the same time. So when God speaks to us, the Bible says he is spirit. He speaks to us spirit to spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, they weren't born again. But your new nature brought to life your inward man, which means instantly your inward man now has the ability to grow up into spiritual things and spiritual knowledge, to be renewed in the spirit. You can renew, you can rebuild, build up that knowledge of the inner man to where you can live out of that knowledge instead of out of the knowledge of your carnal man. How many know that your carnal man has knowledge? Your carnal man, your flesh, your body, the natural body, it has a knowledge about you that it thinks it wants to tell you who you are. Do you know that Rachel, right here, if you're not watching on video, you're only listening, you're missing out. Here's Rachel shining, our model from New York. Rachel here, in God's eyes, really is no longer Rachel, because she was born again. And the scripture says she's a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new. So God, it says, when she gets to heaven, when she gets to see him face to face, will give her a new name. Because he is the father of her spirit, but not the father of her flesh. But the problem is, the problem for you and for me and for every believer and for this group in Corinth is that even though she became a new creature, a brand new born-again person, she's still stuck with this body. One day, this body will fall off of her. And the victory of Jesus isn't complete until death is conquered. So we're still in the process of winning, completing the whole earth being transformed into what Jesus has already paid for. Including you wearing the body that's going to fall off of you one day and be replaced with a new body. So Rachel, who we call Rachel because that's the name her parents gave her. But if we can listen to God, he would tell us what her name is that he's given to her. And it's different than Rachel. Yes. So this girl right here standing before you is actually wearing Rachel on her back. And Rachel is a mess. Rachel is full of ideas and thoughts and opinions about life. But the real person inside, who you were made the moment you're born again, is life and light and righteousness. That's the real you. But God was unable at the moment of your salvation to get rid of the old you. Yes, the old nature, which the Bible does use the word flesh sometimes, the old man, the old nature, was taken out of you and you were given a new nature. But you were left with this carnal piece of meat called the flesh, called the body, which isn't just your fingers and your toes and your nose. Because we did this last week. Let me see your hand, Rachel. Let's stick it right there. Okay, now we're going to close your eyes. This is going to be ugly. We're going to amputate her hand right now. Got out the saw and... oh, blood, a little bit of blood. You know, and there we go. See, there's her hand right there. I got her hand. We just separated it from her body. Is she still there? See, how many of us have heard of someone have a heart transplant? Or a lung transplant. Even nowadays, they have a face transplant for someone who's a victim of something. But the person that they are is still there, even though they have replaceable parts. Amen? That person's still there. So when God talks about your body and your flesh, he's not just talking about bones and skin. He's talking about the brain, the emotions. Thank you, Rachel. Give her a hand clap. I'll probably pick on her a little more today. He's talking about more than just your fingers and your toes, and we can make it a minimal thing, the body, that I'm a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. Well, that implies, that basic understanding implies that I have a soul, and we define the soul in our tradition as mind, will, and emotions. But do you understand that this carnal mind, this brain of mine, is like an animal. It's carnal. It's made of meat. I have a dog that has a will, its own mind, and emotions. If you have a pet, you will understand that there's a personality in there. There's a thought process. You ever come home and your pet did something it wasn't supposed to? And it knows that it did something it wasn't supposed to? And it's looking at you like, you know, for our dogs, the ears are down and the tail's back. And we're wondering, why is he like that? And then we find out he got into something he knew he wasn't supposed to get into. He knew it and still did it. I can't believe that dog. What a dog. But here you are in the process of becoming a new crew. Who's more amazing than God to be able to take us from being a child of Adam, of one species, one creature, and to put us in a process called salvation to where we are now ending up in a whole different species, but we're still here. How amazing is that? It's so amazing we don't even know how to articulate the cost or the price or the process that is in becoming, in the end, a child of God. From one species to a complete different species. It's amazing the price that God is willing to pay to rescue mankind. How foolish is it for mankind not to take advantage of being born again? So here we have some people who are born again. Say, born again. And they're being corrected by a pastor. And he says to them, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able. So in his correction, he has to go down to their level so they can not just hear him, but they can act on what he's given to them. Because if you give a steak to a baby, that baby's going to choke. It's not going to help that baby grow one bit. But if you give it milk, it's going to take that milk and it's going to grow. For you are still carnal. The problem with the Corinthian church was they thought they were spiritual because of the gifts that were floating around and the signs and wonders and miracles. But he calls them carnal. Anywhere in Scripture, when you see a definition of a man of God or a woman of God, it always has to do with character. When Paul tells Timothy how to choose his leaders in his church, he doesn't say, look for the anointed, look for the ones who walk in miracles, look for the ones who can hear God's voice, look for the ones who prophesy the most. He says, find someone who has one wife. Find someone. He talks about holiness. He talks about character of maturity, characteristics. He talks about not drinking for the higher levels of bishop. And he gives them standard character of holiness as requirements for leadership, not how anointed you are. Sometimes we chase after the anointing and we're really supposed to be chasing after character. Always remember, God promotes you for a different reason than man promotes you. Verse 3, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like, and I love this, mere men? You're behaving like the man down the street who don't even know God. For when one says, I am a Paul, another I'm Paulus, are you not carnal? We're not going to get into that, but I want us to see that there is a argument within themselves, which you will notice, I'm sure, the moment you started to grow in God, an argument between the spiritual man and the natural man. Have you ever had God tell you, I want you to do something, and you felt a euphoria of peace? This is wonderful. I'll do it, God. You want me to take all my money and give it to Alan Taylor Ministries? Oh, wonderful. Yes, I love to do it. And then all of a sudden you realize that all your money means you have no money. That you got to trust God. And you hear this voice come and say, that's not God. And you feel the emotion of fear. Have you ever had that dual argument that no one around you notices, but it's inside of you? A peace and a fear at the same time? Have you ever had that go on with inside of you? Well, where is that fear coming from? Where is that voice of fear, that voice of mistrust, that voice of reasoning, where is that coming from? If you say, me, that's okay, but really it's what part of you? Your finger? Your toe? What part of you? Let me put you through mechanical class as we take the wheel apart and we begin to find out that there's lots of parts to the wheel. That when the Bible says your body, soul, and spirit, that is an accurate statement. But when you begin to see further, you'll discover that there's much more detail to you than body, soul, and spirit. So where does that argument against what God told you come from? Where does the voice that says you need to participate in sinful activity, where does that voice come from when you know that you're righteous because of his new nature? Your new nature is, that's all it is righteousness. It's light. It's righteousness. It's Christ. It's a perfect example of Christ. And it's pushing out and breathing out the desire for holiness and righteousness. But there's another voice that says, you need this. Have you ever been in that argument before? Don't hold your hand up, Gary. Yeah. That's why we love Gary. He's like, yeah. But you've had that argument between your own self. of I want to be this way, but I have a voice that keeps telling me I need this and I know it's wrong, but how do I get rid of that voice? Where is that voice coming from? Well, it's the devil. Well, it's not just the devil. It is your flesh, your body, your natural man, your carnal man is talking to you, trying to tell you who you are. But that's no longer who you are. You don't have to live in the thought, in the mindset, in the feelings, emotions of your carnal man. You can live your life out of your spiritual man and make that carnal man submit and follow you around. Because we're not trying to fix the carnal man. The carnal man can never be fixed. It's like me trying to take my dog and say, I love you. We don't make fun of people whose dogs are like their kids, because they'll beat you up really bad if you do. But some people's animals are like their children, and they treat them like their children. And they talk to them like their children. So I can take the animal that I love and sit him down. And when Christy and I, before we had kids, we had a dog named Maddie. And we go to our friends and we talk about Maddie. Maddie did this, Maddie did that. They look at us and say, you guys need children. And I could take Maddie, who loved me like I was her dad, and say, Maddie, I'm gonna teach you how to be a little girl. Okay, Maddie, say I love you. Okay, let's start. I'm going to teach you how to be my daughter. Let's say A. Say A, Maddie. Okay, B. Say B, A, B. Brr. C. Say C, A, B, C. And she's trying with all of her heart to be my child, but there's a problem. Until we get the R, she can't say her ABCs. But when we get the R, we get a victory. R, R, yay! Okay, Maddie. Little girls don't chase cats up trees. They don't go crazy barking. So I need you not to bark and go crazy when the cat comes around the corner, not to chase it. Do you understand me? Look at me, Maddie. Look at me. I want you to be my daughter. Little girls don't bark and chase after cats. You almost got ran over running across the street after that darn cat. Leave the cat alone. Girls only pet cats. They don't chase cats. You understand me, Maddie? Look at me. If you're going to be a girl, you got to act this way, Maddie. Okay. She agrees. She wants to be my daughter. She loves me like her dad. So she does good until the cat comes around the corner. Then her instincts take over. And everything in her is trying to stay. Don't run. Don't chase. Don't run. Don't chase. Don't bark. And all of a sudden, off she goes, chasing that cat who she'll never catch. We're chasing that cat up a tree. Maddie, that was a bad girl, Maddie. I want you to be my daughter. I need you to act like it. Okay, Maddie. Little girls don't run around sniffing other little girls' behinds. So I need you to stop that, okay? But see, as much as I love that dog, and as much as that dog loved me, how many know that dog will never be my child? Why? Because our natures are different. We're two different creatures. When Ava showed up, our little girl, little Ava, what pleasure in teaching her A, B, C, D, and teaching her, and I'm still trying to get her to sing. She sings great, but she won't do it in public. But I'm still torturing her. What pleasure there is to be able to talk to her, because we have the same nature. We're the same creature. See, Adam, when he sinned, wanted to be forgiven and was forgiven, but the problem wasn't forgiveness. The problem was all of a sudden now God standing there in front of a creature that no longer is like him. As much as God loved Adam, as much as Adam loved God after he fell, they were different creatures. Adam was no longer a child of God. But now you, because you were born again, how many were born again? Wave your hand real big, real proud. You were born and birthed inside. How amazing is God to give us a chance to be born the second time, the first time of Adam, the second time of Christ. Born into the family of God with a nature of light and life and righteousness, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's all describing the new nature inside of you. But that's not all that happened. The inward man, the man of the Spirit, was brought to life by that new nature. Now you have the ability to hear God, to know God, to walk as a child of God. But in that process, he wasn't able to remove the leftover from the old man called your flesh, this body. And we thank God for that, because otherwise we'd go right to heaven. You know, that'd be quite the altar call, you know. Coming up, get saved, we bury you in the backyard. You know, it's, you know, like, welcome to our church. We'd really be called the death church then, for sure. But you still are wearing this body. What is this body? Well, this body is the full-on experience of this world, of your youth, of your childhood, of your culture, of your parenthood, of the way your family is, of everything of this world. That's the result of this body, this natural man. The insecurities, the fear, the self-centeredness, the worry, the concern, the drive, the forcefulness, the powerhouse of this body, the ability to be who everything you want to be. The world cannot tell you how to live as a child of God. The world's gone to the moon. The world has really intellectual people who have put spaceships and landed, I mean, amazing, incredible things from the intellect of the carnal mind is incredible. And now we got people who use that intellect towards interpreting scripture and come up with the craziest ideas trying to tell you how to interpret scripture. This scripture is spirit birthed by the Holy Spirit, this word that you have. It's only understood by the spiritual man. It's not understood by the natural man. The natural man will totally confuse you in trying to understand the Bible. So why am I saying all this? Because when you go through a battle internally, no one around you sees what you're going through. For some of you, it was a piece of cake. In other words, it was easy for you to come to church today. You were looking forward to it. For some of you, you were dreading every step to get to church. Something was pulling you away from coming to church today. For some of you, you get excited about spending time in prayer. For some of you, it's a war to just say one syllable in praying in tongues. And you wonder, why do I have this battle when that person doesn't? My favorite is when people start to try to earn favor spiritually. They begin to word their experiences in a language that makes them look better than they really are. Because they want your approval rather than God's approval. That's another message. So Paul is saying, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. I have to speak to you as carnal. Because you're still a babe. You're still a child in your... Well, when I was born again, what did I receive from God that was fully complete? And that was your new nature. Your new nature is fully complete. And inside of that is an image of who God says you can be. But what is this process that I have to go through to walk in who God says I can be? Why is there a process? Why is there a battle? Why is there a struggle with trusting God, believing God, with standing with God? Why is there a struggle? Am I just that messed up? Some of you are embarrassed because you think that you're messed up. You have no idea that all of us go through the same type of battle. That is the transformation of stop living out of your carnal mind and start living out of the spiritual man. To start see and think and live and breathe out of the spirit man that's brought to life because of the new nature. And to begin to mortify. When the Bible says to put on the new man, that means it's not on, you got to put it on. When it says to put off the old man and put off the flesh, that means you got to put stuff off and put stuff on. Aren't you glad you got dressed for church today? When you got dressed for church today, some of you put on hair, some of you put on eyelashes, some of you put on makeup and clothes, because when you woke up, you didn't have those. You know, the guy that gets married and he gets married to the... I got to be so careful. I get so much trouble. The girl that marries the hunk and he's everything that she wants. He's a singer and he's got a nice car, and so she runs off and gets married at a quick marriage, and he's a great singer. Oh, sing, baby, sing. She loves that he sings, and they get married, and they get to their room, and he takes off his wig and he's bald. He's like, wait a minute. And then he takes off his false leg, you know, and he begins to expose himself for who he really is. She's like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And she just says, sing, please sing, you know. Some of you feel like that. You feel fake when you come to church because you don't want anyone to know that you're struggling. Because what a mess you are if you're struggling. Hey, you're just a mess. That's why I so appreciated the message this morning on mercy and grace. Understanding that you inherited in your salvation a fight between the outward man and the inward man. Each trying to tell you who you are. That's why you can have peace and fear at the same moment. I remember one time I was at a place in ministry, and I had made huge life decisions in following God. I left my country, my family at the age of 22 to come down to Tennessee with no money, no promises, but I just felt it was God and did it. And not out of bravery or courage, just out of blind faith, you might say. And I survived. Praise God, I survived. So I made some life decisions on hearing God. Well, one season of my life, I was having a hard time hating where I was at. I hated where God had me. I mean, I woke up every morning not liking being there. I hated it. I hated everything about my day. I hated everything. You know, every time you went to God, there was no conversation. When God's not telling you something, he's telling you something. Keep doing what I told you to do. Quit trying to fix it. I don't like it. Yeah, I know you don't like it. So? Well, can you explain to me why you have me doing this? Give me the details why. Son, if I gave you the details why, you would run. Because you wouldn't believe that you can do what I think you can do. But before you can do what I think you can do, you got to become who I believe you can become. You might get that tomorrow. And so everything in me disliked where I was, what I was doing. And I started to, of course, project that on other people. Legally find things I didn't like about them, things they're doing wrong. Critique them, criticize them. Yeah, look at you. You're all afraid to say amen. Yeah, you're all, but you know what I'm talking about. And then I heard God tell me, it's time to move back to Canada. Start your church. And at that same season, I had an opportunity to go back to Canada and start a church. And I told people, God told me, I'm supposed to leave. It's time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting out of this joint. I'm moving. And I was so excited. I told a few close friends, by Christmas time, I'm out of here. God's told me it's time to go. It's my season's up. And I was excited. I found a new freshness, a new excitement, a new hope in my life. Yes, because this where I was going meant I was going to have something of my own. Where I was meant I had nothing of my own. When you have nothing of your own, you are powerless to do something. Let me pause there and interject. When you follow God enough, you'll find out that you lose the power to fix things. He's your only answer, and He likes it that way. And I was saying, God, it's time. I told a few friends, but after a few days, I said this to myself. This is what I said to God and to myself. Father, I feel like I hate this place right now. I feel like I don't want to be here. I feel disgruntled. I feel unappreciated, unnoticed, unloved, overworked, underpaid by people and by you, God. And I said, I believe I heard your voice, but, someone say but. That's my glory. Nathan says glory. I say but. Say but. Yeah. Real spiritual church you are, yeah. I said, God, until I feel peace, I'm not going to implement what I feel you told me to do. I'm not going to make steps towards it until I feel your peace, because I only make decisions in peace. Because I had a belief that you never make decisions out of opportunity or out of frustration. Only by hearing the Word of God within peace. Well, I went through the next 2 months in torture, hating every minute, because now I couldn't wait to leave. You know, it's like when you're ready to leave a job to a better job, you hate all of a sudden everything you didn't notice before. You notice everything you dislike about where you're at. And it was torture, I could say. January 1st that year, the clock ticked. I don't know, it's not a date thing, but I remember waking up January the 1st. I felt totally at peace. Nothing in me wanted to leave. And the Lord told me, that was a test of your soul, your natural, I would reword it today as in the natural part of my soul, my carnal man, my flesh creature that I'm wearing on my back, the meathead. Natural man came up and concocted an idea of how to get me out of the circumstance and situation and the place that God had put me in, and was whispering, saying to me in God's voice, this is God. And I thought it was God. But when peace showed up, I realized it wasn't God at all. It was my carnal man trying to push me out of the place where it was facing death, and put me in a place where it was in power. Because power to make decisions, power to live life, power to gain wealth, power to answer your questions is where the carnal man wants to live. But when you follow God, you find out that many times you are in a powerless situation without Him giving you the answer. Say amen if you understand what I'm preaching about. So where did that voice come from? Where did that quandary, that stuff going on that only I feel, that only I see, that only I think, that no one else around you? You know, people walk through the day and everyone around thinks you're doing great, but inside you have all these turmoil and questions and concerns. Am I good enough? Am I doing right? And so we can fake who we are, But the problem is if you fake who you are to me and to people around you, you're also going to try to fake who you are with God. But he knows who you are and he's not afraid of you. So where does this thoughts and ideas and fear and insecurity and unworthiness, where does that voice come from? If you hear me preach the last 10 years, you've heard me say, you're not your struggles. Your struggles come from your carnal man. You're responsible for your body, what you do with it, what you let it do. Absolutely. But once you understand who I really am, I'm a man of God. I have righteousness oozing through my spiritual man. I now am fighting my struggles, and I am telling my struggles, you don't get to tell me who I am anymore. I don't accept my struggles, my insecurity, my fear as who I am. I'm not trying to fix that. I'm not trying to take my carnal man. Let me have a really, a real ugly guy here. Where do we have? Sean, perfect. Come on up here. He volunteered. Mr. Ugly himself, ladies and gentlemen. Now, his mom's getting mad at me right now, so I'm joking. I'm teasing. Come over to this side here. This is my carnal man, Mr. Ugly. Now, I'm not, for the sake of the tape, he is really ugly. Now, I'm not trying to fix him, repair him, coddle him. Oh, I love you. We're going to go to the, me and you, we're going to go find Jesus, and we're going to love you, and he's going to make you all better, okay? See, now, the carnality, the part of your body, the part of you that you're wearing, that is left over from the old man, that one day will fall off you and you'll get a new one. God's not trying to repair him. He cannot understand God. This is like my dog, Maddie, trying to learn to be a child. My job as a child of God is to look at the carnal part of me and say, just shut up and do what you're told, and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to mortify you. I'm going to make you stop pushing me and pulling me. Thank you. Thank you, Sean. Thank you. Give him a hand clap. Because you do have a voice that talks to you every day. Every morning and every night, you have a voice that talks to you from inside of you, telling you, trying to tell you who you are, what you need to be safe, what you need to be happy. For some of you, it's constant, especially when you start, especially when you become born again. See, these guys in Corinth, were already born again, but they didn't grow in the Spirit. They stayed as children. Why would Paul rebuke them for staying as children unless he already gave them what they needed to grow up, and they didn't do it? Let's go to Galatians. He's talking to the church in Galatia, and he's having problems with them because they are falling under legalism. Paul goes on in here to talk about how he spent 3 years alone with the Holy Spirit because he never met Jesus in person, as far as we know. He spent 14 years after that. So it could be a total of 17 years, but at least 14 years after Jesus was resurrected, after Paul's salvation, learning from the Holy Ghost who he was, and then he established his church in Galatia, and what happens? But Peter comes to the church that he established, a Gentile church. See, a Gentile church, if you were raised in Gentile world, you had no rules. You did whatever your flesh wanted you to do. If you were raised in Israel, Jewish tradition, you had lots of rules. 613 rules is the exact number of laws that you had to submit to be a good Jewish believer in God. And so the New Testament is taking those of the Jewish law who were raised where just think about this now. Now, we live in America. I have a friend who is in Switzerland, and he was a Bible college student with me, and we were going to drive from Cleveland, Tennessee, to Palm Springs, California, to go help at a conference. And he was my helper. Him and I were going to drive. I let him go first. I said, you drive first, and then after you get tired, I'll drive. And then when I get tired, we were going to switch back and forth. It was a 36-hour drive. And he drove for like an hour and a half, and he looked at me and said, I'm tired. I said, what? Now, I'm from Canada. I mean, an hour and a half is like going from one neighborhood to the next neighborhood. You know, this guy, an hour and a half, he's like, huh? I said, what are you tired? We got 36 hours. You're crazy if you think I'm going to drive. You need another 5 hours at least before I even think about switching up. You know, now if it's your wife, it's a little different, but this guy's not my wife. This is a guy. And here's what he told me. Alan, I'm from Switzerland. I've never driven more than an hour in my whole life. In Switzerland, you drive an hour, you're almost out of the country. You know, in America, we're kind of spoiled. We drive from Georgia, Tennessee. You can go any different direction, but those are like little countries. Israel, right next door, as far as if you drove from here to Dallas, Texas, in Oklahoma to Dallas, Texas, you can get to Dallas, Texas, drive it in 4 hours. Unless you're fast, you can drive a little faster. In 4 hours' time of driving, 1 hour flight. The culture difference between Israel and a Gentile nation in those 4 hours was in Israel, if you were 14 years old and you were holy at 14, you were celebrated for your holiness. 4 hours away in a Gentile nation, in your unholiness, it was celebrated at 14 years old. That's the difference in cultures. And the job of the New Testament is to take the culture of one and the culture of the other and say, we are the culture of Christ. So whether you come from legalism or you come from fleshism, you're all coming to Christ. This is who we are. We don't earn anything, but we don't live by our flesh. So here's this Gentile church that Paul established, teaching the Gentiles how to find Christ, but not through the law. How to end up holy, living for God, without offering him legalism. And Peter shows up. This is at least 14 years, maybe 17 years after Pentecost. Peter has been praying in tongues for at least 14 years, has spent time with Jesus, and has been the Apostle Peter for at least 14 years, comes into the Gentile church and eats with them until, let's just read a little bit, see if I can find it. We'll say verse 11 of chapter 2. And when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. Now this is pretty, you know, when people fight on Facebook and you watch it and you love watching them fight. This is a pretty, you know, this is worse than Facebook fighting here. He puts the name down. He didn't say there was an apostle that I had to withstand. He said, Peter, he named him. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. And for before a certain man came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. So here we have Peter, the apostle. And now he's eaten, and we learned from Pastor Dave, where I learned this from, but we've learned that he was eating pork and everything that the Jews were not allowed to eat. He was having a barbecue. But when James came with those who were circumcised, who were still carrying some of the legalism, Judaism, trying to mingle that with Christianity, saying to this group of Gentiles, if you're going to find God, okay, we'll let you find God, but first you have to be circumcised, and you've got to follow certain eating rules. So they would get shot in Oklahoma, for sure. You know, sorry guys, no barbecue, you know. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. This isn't Paul fighting Peter. This is Paul protecting his sheep. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Here's Peter still dealing with fear. And at the cost of the whole church being put under Judaism. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Now, let's go over to chapter 4, Galatians 4, verse 19. I'm going to just want us to focus on this one verse here. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now, I want you to understand this, that until Christ is formed in you, every parent understands. Every good parent understands that the laboring process of a child doesn't stop when you leave the hospital. That the laboring process of a child is to take them from birth to maturity. The correcting, the instructing, the loving, the spanking, the addressing, all the things that go with raising a child isn't just giving birth to a kid. We had one guy. Remember when I was a young guy, he came to our church, he said, he was advertised as one of the greatest evangelists the world's ever known. He had led 25,000 people personally to the Lord. And he had come to teach us how to evangelize and have many souls saved. He said, look, here's what I do. This is what he said. Look, here's what I do. I go talk to someone and I say, hey, do you want to know Jesus? And they say, no. I said, well, can I at least pray with you? Can I at least, let me just pray with you. No harm done, let me just pray with you. And they usually say, okay, you can pray with me. So then as I'm praying for them, I say, let me hold your hand. Okay, Father, bless my friend here. Thank you for loving him. Thank you for being a blessing to him. And now, Father, I thank you for helping him in his life. Now, sir, just repeat this after me. Jesus. I ask you in my heart, in Jesus' name, amen. And they're born again, praise God. And that was his answer to salvation. There was no conviction, it was a trick. He tricked him into saying the words. You know, that doesn't mean you're saved. You have to make a decision to get saved. And so the birthing a child in the world, if a dad births a child with a girl, with a woman, and then doesn't show up for the next 20 years, we usually call that a dysfunctional father. Correct? An errant father, a man that's not involved, that just created a creature but wasn't there to raise that child. The laboring for raising a child is much more than just the birth process. It's the real work comes afterwards. not to say that it's not work given birth, ladies. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that the work of raising a child doesn't stop once you leave the hospital. So when he says, my little children, again, we see this process, children to grown up, that there's a process of growing. He says these words, for whom I labor birth again, until Christ is formed with you. I'm with you until Christ is formed with you. It's my work, my duty, my job, my love to pour into you, to be with you, to spend time with you, to walk with you until you are walking in the maturity that's possible for you. Christ has to be formed in you. Where does that come from? The new nature already has all of Christ in it. But as you and I keep pressing into the spiritual, Christ is formed in us. We become more walking after the Spirit, and we begin to mortify the things of the flesh. Every one of us will have voices that talk to us. For every problem, you're going to have a natural mind, a carnal thought. This is the answer. But you also have a spiritual man that is going to be able for the rest of eternity, your spiritual mind. There's some people that you put your keys down and you forget where you put your keys. The other day I knocked my glasses over on the floor and it was dark in the room and I was up before the family and I thought, okay, I got to get my glasses up before I step on them. 2 seconds later, I stepped right on them. And I thought, I was supposed to remember something. What was it after I felt them go underneath my foot? It's like some of us have that natural mind. We're just really that smart in the natural. We have that great of a thought process, you know. But your spiritual man, the spiritual mind that God educates and teaches, the spiritual mind that God fills with spiritual knowledge of truth when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the spiritual mind that for the rest of eternity, every day will learn something new about God, does not forget who God is. So when you spend time in the Spirit educating your spiritual man, you are going to have a battle with the natural man. I guess the point of the message today is, don't feel bad because you're fighting the natural man, as long as you're fighting the natural man. That's no longer who you are. If you want to hug that natural man and say, I'm accepting you as who I am, you're on a path in the darkness away from God. But the day you're born again, you can say, I'm no longer subject to living after my natural man. My mama may have told me this, my dad may have told me this, but I have a new father now. And I get to live by his standards, by his law, by his rules. But just because you're in a battle doesn't mean you're failing. The fact that you're battling shows you that you're winning because you're battling. You're not accepting the carnal man as who you are. Paul says to them, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Maybe you're thinking it's taken too long for Christ to be formed in me. Shouldn't I be over this by now? Shouldn't I be past this insecurity? Maybe you're past the drinking and the smoking and the chewing and doing those things. But you're full of insecurity and self-centeredness and fear and all those other things. Listen. One day this old body is going to fall off of us. But we don't have to live with it forever. But in this life, just because you're hearing a voice or a feeling or an emotion that says to you, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you're not going to make it, doesn't mean that's who you are. That's your carnal man. You can look at that and say, I don't accept you. And it may be a fight for you. It may be a season of fighting until you can mortify it. You can kill the voice that tells you you're not worth anything. But I will say this, there is a day, just like the day when I found peace. The day I found peace, I woke up on January the 1st that year, and I felt complete peace for being in God's will. That peace has never left me. No matter what came against me, no matter what struggles, battles, no matter who said what against me, because when you're a preacher, people can say, even if you're not a preacher, but people can say horrible things. They can read into your motives and begin to I don't know if you've had this. I'm sure you had someone come up to you and said, I know you, so-and-so. I used to hate you. Like, what? Me? Well, I heard all these things about you, and until I got to know you, I found out that none of them were true. People make up crazy, ugly things for whatever reasons about everybody. It's all garbage. They have a saying in Tennessee, you don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. Don't be listening to people talk about other people. I don't know how I got on that, but you're going to be a day when you will overcome that voice of your carnal man that is telling you you can't make it, telling you you're not worthy, telling you you're not successful, telling you that God will do it for so-and-so, but they won't do it for you, telling you you need this to feel safe, you need this to feel good, you need this to be accepted. There'll be a day where you'll be able to mortify that when you face it and you'll kill it, where it will no longer have power to speak to you. But just because you're going through it doesn't mean you're failing. Just because you hear it and it's tempting to fix it doesn't mean it's God, doesn't mean it's you're just that big of a loser. You're just that big of a loser. If you don't got it now, you're just a loser. You're not a loser. You're fighting your flesh, your carnal man. But you're going to win if you don't quit. That's the power of the Holy Ghost, to walk with you step by step so you can mortify and face your flesh in every area and win. Because there's a day we can live as spiritual creatures while we're still wearing this natural flesh, because we'll have it dominion over it, and it will be under our feet and will bow its knee to everything the Word of God says. It's okay to be in a fight as long as you're fighting. The danger is if you stop fighting and start justifying. Start making a case for why. Here's why I don't need to stop this. Here's why I don't need to struggle with this. That's when you start to go down a path where you're going to end up walking away from God. You can struggle with your carnal man, but don't feel like you're a failure because you're struggling with your carnal man. That's the message today. Because you're on a path of victory while Christ is being formed in you. While you're going from living out of carnality to living into being your spiritual man. Don't feel like you're failing because you're struggling. Because you're going to win if you don't quit. Don't accept your flesh as who you are. Accept your spirit as who you are. Thank you, Father. For those of you who are going through a battle, and that's probably why I'm preaching this today, is there some of you, some of us, some of you going through a battle and you're feeling like, you know, there's a race. You're not even last. You're so far behind. Everyone's a mile ahead of you. You can't even see them. That's how far you feel behind. You feel like you might as well give up. That's a lie from hell. Everyone is fighting, overcoming the natural man, because everyone in this room is wearing a natural man. Everyone. There's no one here who floated in on a cloud. There's no one here that's special anointed or special, more special. Or we're all wearing a flesh that we have to mortify and put to death, and we fight different things. But thank God we have Christ in us. And as He is formed in us, His characteristics, we are overtaking and overpowering this ugly man called the body. But there'll be a day on this world, on this earth, where you're walking, and the body, you will have brought your body into submission. And it will bow its knee to the gospel. Don't try to create a new gospel. Half body, half spirit. Father, I thank you right now for those who are struggling and feeling inferior, feeling as failures, feeling that they're not strong enough. Father, I thank you that you remind them who they really are. The fact they haven't given up, the fact they've accepted the challenge to pursue you in the spirit, to accept the challenge of not accepting life as it is, tells you that they're champions, that they're warriors. Tells us, Father, that they are overcomers because they're overcoming something that they don't believe or they don't see the victory. They're still fighting because they believe your word. They believe you as being true. So, Father, we thank you right now that as we are in a fight with our flesh, that we're in a race against this body, that we're going to run it to win, that we're racing to win, that we will be the man and woman of God that you've called us to be, that you destined us to be, that at our core you made us to be in holiness and character, in love and gentleness and kindness and peace, that we will live every day by the new man, and we will put off every day this old man because it no longer has the right to tell us who we are. So we thank you that in our struggles, in our battles every day, we have your mercy to run to. We have your grace to be our strength, that we will win. We've already won. We only accept your truth as being truth. So right now, we ask for your help. Thank you, Father. Now listen carefully. Right now, we ask for your help, Father. Here's what the Lord would say to us today. Of course, I have help for you. You are not alone in this fight against your flesh. Of course I have help for you. I have all the strength and grace and mercy that you need to continue every day to win and to stand against who the flesh is trying to tell you you are. You are not who the flesh says you are. You are my child. You are my child. And I see you as victorious. I see you as an overcomer. I see you in the future. I see you even today as a child who I'm proud of, who I love, and I'm with you every step of the way. I will not forsake you. I will not abandon you. I am your strength. So, Father, we receive right now. We're not fighting this on our own. We're fighting this in your strength. We receive your strength now to continue every day to believe that the future you told us about, individually, the things you told us, the promises you gave us, will come to pass. We refuse to abort the direction you've given to us because of tiredness, because of weariness, because of lack of faith. We stand on your word. We stand on what you've told us. We refuse to change course. Because we believe who we are is who you say we are. And we're not afraid of our flesh. We're not afraid to fight our flesh. We're not intimidated by our flesh. And we're not embarrassed by our flesh because we are overcoming our flesh. Father, we receive your strength now and your hope that what I'm fighting today, I won't always have to fight. It won't always be a weary fight, because I have you, and I have you on the inside of me, and you, Jesus, are being formed in me, more of you every day. That's what I'm living, that's what I'm becoming. I'm so grateful that you made it possible for me to be a man of God. I'm so grateful for that. We receive from you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. He loves you. He loves you. And he believes in you. And he's laboring with you every day. He didn't birth you and just abandon you on the street. Say, good luck. He's walking with you every step of the way, bringing love, correction, direction, mercy, grace. Thank you, Father. If you're here today and you say, I just really would like a touch from God. I just need a touch from God in an area. Maybe it's strength. Maybe you're one who's just, you're getting weary and you're feeling overpowered. You're feeling like you're at the edge of giving up, but you know you can't, but you feel like you might. Or maybe you just want prayer. Please come to the Green Line and Richard and Hazel will pray with you. We're just going to continue with this beautiful music, and you are released if you need to go. Thank you, Father. There's a sweet presence here. God's doing something in some people. While they're praying, if you're going to stay, just keep receiving that presence, that strength from God today.